We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the £4 pint on match day. That's all Newcastle home games and any televised Newcastle fixture. The offer applies from midday until midnight on all draft beers. Be gamble aware, over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org. Be drink aware, and for details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk. It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle have gone to the City Ground and beaten Nottingham Forest by 3-2 to make it 4 away wins in a row in 2024 and continue Newcastle United's decent form this calendar year. I'm Alex. I have Si, Charlotte and John Lane to talk to you about what happened and why in this one. Si, I'm going to start with you, mate. How good was that feeling to go away from home once again in the Premier League and pick up all 3 points?
I'm glad you said how good was that feeling and not just how good was that game, because the game itself was interesting, but winning another away game is class. It's a good feeling. It's massive for where we are and where we're going to try and get to this season. Back in seventh, still in the FA Cup. We've just won four. Well, you said it's 4 away games. Two of them are cup, but you know, it's all steps in the right direction. You know, the stuff to get into about the performance and about the way we got to that victory, but we are learning to win games again, and that's really, really good. And I'm getting more and more confident each week, as clearly some of the players are, that we'll continue this form. And you know, Bournemouth next week looks like a really easy win, as far as I'm concerned, based on the fact that we're scoring goals for fun. Yes, we're conceding a bit, but honestly, yeah, I was really pleased. And I suppose in terms of learning week on week, we conceded the lead twice against Luton and then failed to win the game. We didn't do that here. We conceded the lead twice, but had the character and the conviction to go away and get a third and win the game. And yes, it took some brilliance from Bruno Guimarães. In fact, all three of our goals are unreal. But Bruno, sometimes you just need your world-class players to come and grab the game by the scruff of the neck. He's done that. We've won the game. We move on. Class.
That's it, isn't it? It's just so encouraging to me to have picked up 3 points away from home when all of the conversation for the first half of the season was, what the hell has happened to our away form? Yeah. What on earth is going on? To even just build on the performance from last week, obviously that was a home game against Luton and there was a lot to say about that, and that was a difficult game, and we took the lead and then we lost the lead and we ended up with a point. Well, same thing happened here. We took the lead twice in this game and lost it twice and then still managed to. These are incremental sort of improvements that, you know, we're going to keep making week on week, you'd hope. I see no reason why not. And players are going to come back. We are back in training. We are back to once a week. And so I'm so encouraged by it. I'm so buzzing that we got the 3 points. We're a real sort of momentum team. And coming out of, you know, 7:30 last night, I was just like, thank fuck for that.
Yeah, I mean, the result's the most important thing, isn't it, here? But I think for the first 10 minutes, we really tried to play. And we looked in control. Now, funnily enough, if you watch some highlight packages that are going around, the first chance you see is Forrest's chance on the break after we've had 83% possession or something ridiculous in that first 10 minutes. So I think we tried to approach the game the right way for me, but the result's huge. I can't remember the last time we won 4 games in a row, and it was a very un-Eddie Howe Newcastle win, I think, in the fact that normally when we win, you know, we're a few goals ahead, we manage the game that way. This is the first time this season I can recall anyway where we've had to manage that game like one goal up, and we've managed to actually get to 90 minutes and do it. So that, for me, I think the squad probably needed that to show that they could do that and have that character of, even when things aren't perfect, that they get, they're going to get that result. And look, we've said it before, good teams win badly. And maybe we did a little bit of that yesterday.
Yeah, I think the talking about the end of the game is relevant, because I was actually most impressed by Newcastle at 0-0 and at 3-2 up, because at 0-0, Howe tries out this new formation in possession, which we'll come on to a little bit later in the show. And Newcastle, like you say, dominate a game away from home that we haven't really seen them do in terms of volume of possession. And they really asked a lot of questions of Forest before getting the first goal. What happens between 1-0 and 3-2 up is probably worth debating. I think we will talk about it, because it wasn't straightforward. But managing the game like they did at 3-2 up, Dubravka's not had to make a save. There's no close calls. It feels like in previous situations where we've been trying to cling on, there's been kind of some mitigation that Howe has been unable to make subs where he could yesterday. But even though we conceded last minute against PSG and last minute against Chelsea, neither of those sides, I think it could be argued, didn't deserve their equaliser. Forest didn't deserve anything at 3-2 yesterday. That was probably their worst period of the game. You know, Newcastle's best periods obviously were Forest's worst periods, but just so impressed with Howe's tactics, the defensive substitutions. These are all things some fans have questioned recently. Can he do this? Can he manage these games? And I think that Newcastle at 3-2 yesterday were just in control of that game. There was no last-ditch stuff. There was no panic. There was no reliance on the opposition failure. Just generally impressed by their ability to win a game. And this is the key thing that I took away from this yesterday, and I suppose from this little run we've been on. Yes, Sunderland are a lower league side, so they don't count as much in this conversation. Training. But if you keep yourself in games in the Premier League, away from home in particular, you will pick up wins and points, because a lot of these teams are bad. A lot of these teams are just bad. And Forest in 16th place are, by the league standards, not a good side. Mm. There have been too many away games this season where the game's been gone on 80 minutes, or the game's been gone on 85. If you can keep yourself in that position in these games against these sides, you will have a lot of joy. And I just felt that performance at 3-2 yesterday was so mature and so much better. Yes, there are still glaring deficiencies to Newcastle's play or defensive structure or midfield structure, but, and we'll talk about those, but I just think when you're away games in the Premier League, and you're going to be all right, and we did that yesterday.
I think Forest kind of fell apart in that last 15 as well, including injury time, but that, like, they just weren't creating anything. They couldn't keep a hold of the ball, and they just didn't look like any kind of threat. But I also think that speaks to us and the control we were exerting over the game, and the comfort. Like, we've seen this team kind of panic a little bit towards the end of games, get more tired. Obviously, fixture, you know, congestion has led to that. But even against Luton, they had a chance at 97 minutes, and you're sort of sitting on the edge of your seat thinking, please God, like, let it just get us to this point. Didn't feel like that yesterday. And that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about these incremental improvements. These will sort of snowball into, hopefully, a really great run of form, because they're all the little improvements that we need to be seeing. The calmness, the maturity, the control of the game, right through to the end.
We looked confident, didn't we? Like, at 3-2 up, when we had the ball, we just looked more confident. And it's almost, I think that's probably, I know this is the positive part, so I'm going to try and stay positive. But I suppose my question is we need to look like that more when we're behind, or when we're trying to chase the game, just look more confident and assured in what we're doing. It's almost like we got the lead and we're like, oh yeah, we know what we're doing, and we can play it around, and we can manage the game from here. So I hope that they can kind of learn from that and almost say, actually, this is a way that we can play when things aren't going great as well.
I don't feel like I saw the second half the same way. I thought we were pretty poor until, I suppose, to make this positive, it was until we made the subs, because I thought before the 80th minute when Livramento came on and Kraft came on around the same time, or maybe a little bit later, I thought they looked like scoring every time they came forward. Forest were quite explosive, and they just had us done for pace and in those channels, and they were causing problems every time they had the ball. Now, we had a lot of the ball and we were quite dominant overall, but I thought we looked shaky and vulnerable at the back every time they got the ball until about the 80th minute, and maybe they'd overexert themselves. You know, they play quite explosive football. They've got some quick players who just ran out of steam, I guess. But we did manage the game better towards the end of it. Like you say, we got 3-2 up, and by the 80th minute, We were like, right, there's only, should have been 50 minutes to go. They got an extra two bonus minutes from Taylor, didn't they, at the end, inexplicably. But yeah, I thought the changes to end the game with three right backs and three centre halves on the pitch was a needs must situation. It's like, right, just get the lads on, just see the game out. Let's not take any more risks. Let's not just leave the lads at the back and let the same thing happen again. So addressing it and doing something about it is probably the biggest positive, because I thought second half, the first 20 minutes we were awful. We offered nothing. Then a moment of Bruno brilliance got us back in the lead, and then we dealt with that situation. So I think learning as we go, like say Charlotte, incrementally, there are improvements. But I thought the second half was probably worse than the first half.
I'm definitely talking about that last like 15, yeah. 20 yeah. minutes, yeah. like and just the kind of settling into it. Forest are a game or a team that look for the break and then just run. But we did deal with it. Like, they were shaky moments, but we dealt with it. And then we just were like, actually, this is fine. And then they started to fall apart a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about the middle bit of the game then, because there is definitely a feeling out there that, you know, all is not well, all is not fixed. And, let's talk about some of the things that went wrong. I've got, by the way, my notes for this game, just Marcel's, just that's all it says. What the fuck's
is
he
there
doing?
A big question mark?
Turning up in a game against Newcastle United 8 years after we signed him and then realised he couldn't make any saves. I don't think he makes one save.
Does he actually have hands in his gloves?
he makes a save against Sean Longstaff yesterday, which is a decent save, but he should probably save Bruno's winner, yeah. as good a shot as it was. But, you know, we're still very vulnerable in behind Forest on another day. I don't want to say probably should have a pen, but if the referee gives that penalty at 2-2, then they go 3-2 up in the game most likely. So it was a game of fine margins up until kind of that last 20 minutes when Newcastle managed it well. Newcastle once again take the lead twice against a poor side and then relatively quickly let the opposition back into the game. I mean, the big thing that I kind of noticed watching the game in Aspers last night was that people watching the game are very quick to get angry about Dan Byrne. Dan Byrne kind of dominated the debate in the build-up to this fixture this week after the kind of disaster class against Luton last week for him and Eddie Howe a little bit from that perspective. This week, Eddie Howe tries a new formation when in possession, particularly in the opening stage of the game, kind of three at the back, including Dan Byrne, double pivot of Miley and Trippier, then all of the rest of the lads ahead of them. Do you think that justified Burns' inclusion? Where do you stand on the debate after yesterday's game?
It's a really good question because, yeah, had he just played Byrne at left back and played the same formation, it could have been a disaster, and it could have been the sort of situation that had people asking questions of him and Dan Byrne forevermore. And when they scored, that was at their first goal where the ball goes through and he just gets done for pace. And he'd already been done once for pace. And Dubravka actually makes a really good save. So it happened twice by that point. And you're right, the people around us watching this game were going mental and saying, get him off! And like, it's not as simple as that. It isn't as simple as that. We've talked about the last few weeks. There's a bigger problem on our left-hand side of there just not being any other cover there. So you're right, you try to change this formation. And Dan Byrne definitely suits being the left of a three, which it seemed like he was for most of the game. I still don't really understand where Trippier was playing. Sort of right wing back, but then he was tucking inside a lot. Yeah. So was he alongside Miley? Is that what we think was the... So it was like a 3-2. In theory, I suppose Miley's then supposed to be in that gap between Botman, Byrne, and where Elanga had so much joy. And I don't remember seeing Miley really get stuck in there because he's 17 and he didn't really... against massive Premier League footballers, he hasn't got much chance of having a physical impact. So the same problems were still exposed. And I thought for the first goal in particular, Botman and Byrne are inexplicably about 20 yards apart. Like, they're so far apart. If you're a back three, you've got to be tight. You've got to be close. You leave the gaps out wide and force them wide if you have to, but he just ran straight through the middle and scored. And it's really frustrating to watch that. So does that justify what happened the other way around in terms of on the ball? I thought we were very good. And I thought, you know, our problem away from home has been very predictable. Mm. We've been very easy to defend against, and we've offered nothing, and we've scored three goals here by playing slightly different. I don't think Nottingham Forest knew what to do about it. So there is an argument that by mixing it up, and yes, it meant that Dan Byrne had to stay in defence, it's kind of worked, and we've won the game, albeit they did score and could have scored more through the exact same faults that we have. So it's a really hard question to answer, but I do think because we won the game, the ends have justified it there.
I think... looking at the whole situation, there's only one other player in our squad that could play that position that Dan Byrne played. That's Paul Dummett, and I don't think he's got the pace or the quality to usurp him. I really like Tino, but Tino's not going to play left of a three and then as a left back in that way. So if that's the way that we're wanting to utilise that defence, then that's the reason why Byrne gets in. I totally agree that he hasn't got the pace to deal with Alanga, and we'd learned that on Boxing Day. And actually, for the first goal, Byrne anticipates that ball's going to play and he starts running before the ball's played and still behind him. So, you know,
runs the wrong way, though. He thinks the run's going to come on the outside. Yeah. He's wrong.
And, you know, so, you know, there's definitely work, and hopefully that's something he can learn from. But I don't see Dan Byrne disappearing from the starting lineup anytime soon. And if I'm Tino Livramento, I am still sitting on the bench going, why aren't I starting? What have I done wrong? But again, he can't play that system if that's what Eddie wants to do.
I think there were still other problems which highlighted Dan Byrne's pace deficiency again, in that we know that that's going to happen, and yet the rest of the team didn't shape up on a couple of occasions. So there was one ball through to Gibbs White again, cuts out the midfield, and then he plays one ball through to Ilanga. And Dubravka's so far back behind the defence. I think we, again, in-game management, we started to play deeper, and we had to play deeper because Dubravka stays so deep that gap between him and defence isn't sustainable. So the defence had to get closer to Dubravka and bring the midfield further back and just close those gaps. And I think that's why towards the end of the game, they didn't have as much joy. We were a bit deeper, and we don't like to end up deeper as the game goes on, but it actually was the right thing to do in this situation, because I thought, once again, I'm not digging out Miley, but Byrne was just left one-on-one with this guy who was obviously going to have his pants down. I was like, that clearly wasn't the plan, just to leave Byrne one-on-one when we've changed formation and tried to come up with a new plan. There must have been a plan for someone to be that close and for Botman to be closer, and we still did sort of leave him out to dry almost. It's almost like the lads don't like Dan Byrne and they want to see him have a mare. I don't know.
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't think it's that. It's no. Not that.
You know, like you say, Si, well, midfield issues are still there. Bruno still can't make a tackle. He is playing with fire when he stands on that advertising hoarding for his winner, because if he falls forward into that crowd, Anthony Taylor is pulling out that yellow card.
Shout out Sean Longstaff holding him back.
And if we think we can midfield with him, I dread to think what would look like without him. But ultimately, that pass, like you say, Miley is too square. He's kind of just ball watching. Gibbs White's in. And until Willacott Anderson comes back, I think Miley, at the stage of his career that he is, I just don't think there are any solutions to that. Mm. Anderson has been spotted carrying goals across the training pitch.
So weird. The man broke his back. Don't make him do that.
Do we not have someone to do that for the lads? But until that happens, I think the most promising thing for me is they'd identified a weakness against Luton before. They'd worked on it through the week, and that's really positive. And Howe has been accused lots of times throughout his career, and also at Newcastle, and also on this podcast, of only being able to play one formation in one way. And I think yesterday proved that it wasn't true. That's not true. Doesn't mean everything's fixed. Doesn't mean everything's perfect. Newcastle still have a lot of flaws. They didn't actually create that much yesterday. Like I said, I think they have like four shots. Mm-hmm. Three of them go in. You know, that's good finishing for you and good football. But I kind of feel like if this is us at our worst, injury prone, teenagers in midfield, having to kind of create new formations just to try and protect the left back a little bit more, it could be a lot worse. And if you think about Nick Pope in particular coming back, March is not a million miles away. Nick Pope coming back, Joe Willock coming back, Elliot Anderson, Alexander Isak coming back, Harvey Barnes getting more fitness. This team is on a positive trajectory at the minute. It's just kind of two defeats in 2024, and we're halfway through February. It's four away wins. It's seventh in the league and a great chance of going through to an FA Cup quarterfinal. So the picture has evolved somewhat since that horrible December that we had. The picture is nowhere near as bad. And I think yesterday was a crucial win to help this team in its development.
Well, that's exactly it. We've still won the game, and we've still got that midfield that we can't change. We've still got what looked like a totally unfit Callum Wilson up front. We've got Gordon, who's just come back from injury again. You know, we're still plugging holes with half-fit players. And yeah, Barnes has come off the bench and done a good job, but he's not fit yet, clearly, because you'd think he would have started the game over Gordon if he was in any position to. So yeah, we're still kind of cobbling together 11 players, and I suppose that's... It's a positive that we can win football matches when we're still like weakened significantly, like you say. So it's a massive positive, and we probably need to appreciate that. That's they've worked really hard to get that result with a makeshift team again.
We're going to leave it there for part one of the show. Part two is coming up after a couple of adverts. If you don't want to listen to the adverts, you get these podcasts advertisement free on our Patreon platform. Our Patreon platform keeps this whole entity going, and you get daily Newcastle United podcasts pretty much from Charlotte, me, Si and John and our colleagues. So link in the description to this podcast. Please consider joining up if you like what we do. Speak to you after these.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'll say it again because I like saying it. It is four straight away wins for Newcastle United now in all competitions. We won two of our first 15 away games this season at Sheffield United and Manchester United, which were great away wins, but the rest of it has been, quite frankly, awful. In fact, if you go back to the end of last season as well, we didn't win quite a few of those last away games. So it's, you know, Newcastle United winning away from home is a big turnaround. Discussions about the team and its direction for the rest of the season were very much centered around, well, you know, we had this fantastic home form, but that didn't seem particularly sustainable. And if you can't win away from home in the Premier League against some bad teams like we weren't, you're not going to be able to do very much. So that seems like it's changed. So looking at the overall picture of these games, do you think Howe deserves tremendous credit for fixing essentially his biggest problem?
Yeah, put another way, I think we maybe are all guilty of getting a bit too excited about the odd hiccup on the way. We need to chill a bit maybe, because I thought the meltdown after Luton, which we're all guilty of, we were all on our the podcast kind of lamenting the performance and the result, and we need to chill and trust the process. Like, yes, we all said before Christmas that once we get to this one game a week situation, things will get better, and they have got better. Look, take a step back and look at what we've done since Liverpool. Basically, we've been good. Man City, decent, didn't get the result. Since then, we've been actually really good. And yeah, Luton was pretty poor, but we still drew the game, scored four goals, came from two goals behind. So it's been a really unique season, and it's very hard to kind of overanalyze individual situations and think, oh, we should have done that, we should have done that, like, because it's been so unique and so many ridiculously unprecedented things have happened to us. We've kind of maybe just got to get back on the train and enjoy the ride and stop getting too worried about individual certain situations week on week. It's going to take time. You don't just go from, you know, a faltering season to back to where we were before. It'll take time, and we keep talking about it incrementally. We seem to be getting there, and I think that's a real positive thing. Every week with 3 points, every week with players coming back from injury, getting 90 minutes under the belt, it's a positive. It's a step in the right direction. I think we've got to, you know, appreciate that as well. There probably will be more bumps in the road by the sounds of it. Wilson's taking another knock, albeit yeah, he wasn't that involved in the game. But, you know, there's going to be other problems. But Howe is finding solutions to this. And I thought the most pleasing thing is we're finding ways to win games. We've scored a lot of goals from set pieces recently. You know, Howe's finding solutions to win football matches with what he's got available to him. And that's credit to him. You're absolutely right. I think he does deserve a lot of credit for finding a solution to what was big problems in December and even the start of January. And to be honest, like, if you just think about December, we're miles away from what we were there, you know, in terms of how we're performing, how we're getting on in these games. We're so far removed from what was going on in December, where the same problems were happening. We were basically getting hammered away from home with no answer. And think about how far we've come in a month and a half. And if we keep going in the right direction, I'm certainly thinking of Europe again.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? I think we've got 14 games left in the league, and we've got 36 points, and I reckon 60 points probably gets you Europe. So that's 8 wins. Now, our fancy us to win at least 8 games between now and the end of the season. I certainly think we've got that in us. And this is a season where, you know, it almost feels like this, you said it, Si, like this is almost this disaster's hit, you know, and everyone's like, oh my God, what's going on? How, you know, we're not going to get there. But, you know, I look at it and I think, well, we've got a real good chance of getting into Europe. We're in the FA Cup and have a really good chance of progressing far in that competition. I think, you know, we've got a fantastic chance to certainly get to the quarterfinals. We got to the quarterfinals of the League Cup as if it weren't for, you know, a last minute slip in the 90th minute and a loss on penalties. And we were 20 minutes away from going through to the next round of the Champions League. This has not been a bad season at all. I mean, you know, imagine that 3 years ago. I can't. I really can't.
I think what I like so much about sort of what's happening and what we're seeing in front of us in terms of these away performances and things like that is the creativity that, you know, it's tiny tweaks, but it is tweaks. We're getting goals from different places. We're not getting goals from our centre forward. We played a game without a centre forward last week. It's that kind of, okay, when we don't have that kind of goal threat at the moment, what are we going to do? And Bruno scores too. Fabian Schär's scoring loads. It's sort of, I don't know what it is. I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's this teamwork. I know that sounds a bit trite, but it's this sort of creative response to quite a lot of adversity in November, December. A lot of very bad performances, a lot of very tired legs, an inability to influence anything from the bench. And to look at that, Eddie and Mad Dog looking at that and thinking, okay, well, how do we get goals here? Where do we get them from? Pushing Bruno more forward yesterday allowed him a lot more creativity and a lot more freedom to roam. And Callum Wilson, like, looked a little bit anonymous yesterday, didn't have a lot to do. I mean, you said earlier he dealt with their centre backs quite well, but I mean, he didn't score any goals and he kept dropping deep because kind of Bruno's roaming around. And I like that. I like that we're not just looking for one target man. We're looking at what else have we got in this squad and how do we score goals and turning that into goals.
To defend Wilson, sorry to interrupt, because I was very frustrated at his performance, but on reflection, he was very isolated up front against
very
two centre-halves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he absolutely occupied them, if nothing else, and allowed freedom for some of those other players. But the way we have to play, as I mentioned earlier in the show, because of the pace against us and having to play a bit deeper and the goalkeeper staying deep, it means Wilson's even more isolated. He's actually collecting or receiving the ball around the halfway line, and he's never really been the centre-forward to pick the ball up on the halfway line and drive us forward 30 yards. He was just doing what he could with the situation he was in, and we didn't really get him the ball in the box more than maybe he had got like 3 or 4 touches. So it was a frustrating performance for him. And if he's injured again, never mind. But you're right. It's back to what I was saying about just before Christmas. It was very much a case of, can we get 11 players together who are fit enough to play a football match with no preparation, 3 game weeks, 11 lads, go on, just do your best. Whereas now it's like, okay, we've got a bit more to choose from. We've got a week to prepare. We can have a look at what the opposition have got to offer and come up with a plan. It seems like we're doing that week on week now. And there's just, again, we're just so many miles from what was happening before Christmas that it feels like a totally different season now.
It's 19 goals from 7 games in 2024. So almost 3 a game, which is remarkable. Yeah. Conceded a few as well. But that is fixable. And we know this team can defend very well. So It is a world away, like you said, Si, from December, November, in terms of performances, in terms of results. It is short, like you say, goals coming from Fabian Schär and others. So,
but mostly Schär.
There are just solutions. There was problems, and there have been solutions, and that's really promising. One of the most interesting things about where we are right now is we're only 5 points worse off from the same number of fixtures last season if we'd beaten Luton. Last week it would be 3 points. Now, Newcastle go on to win 9 of the last 14 fixtures after that Manchester City defeat after the cup final last season. Will they have such a kind of a run this season? Well, time will tell, but there are positives. We've talked about kind of 4 key players still to come back, players to, you know, continue to get fitness. But when I have a look at, which I'm going to do right now in front of me, when you look at our, let's talk about the home games, Bournemouth, Wolves, West Ham, Everton, Spurs, Sheffield, Brighton. There's nothing too too fearsome there, is it? And if you look at the away games, Arsenal, tough game. Cup final for them, obviously, for ridiculous reasons. Chelsea, Palace, Fulham, Man U, Burnley, Brentford. You know, there are points there. We have nothing to fear. And this is where the fixture list comes into it, because we haven't got, I mean, apart from Arsenal, we haven't got an away game there that you'd think a draw is a great result. And of all the home games, you know, the hardest game is Spurs, who are, you know, I'd expect Newcastle to beat Spurs at home if Newcastle play well and particularly get some players back. It really does, and wins like this against Forest just kind of, I won't call them transformative, but we were able to look ahead to the rest of the season with a lot more hope than, say, after Luton last week. And again, Luton's result against Sheffield United yesterday makes that performance and result look worse. But I'm pretty sure every single Newcastle fan or everyone listening and watching to this, if you'd said before Aston Villa, Luton and Forest away, 7 points would be the return. Yeah, you'd take it. And like you say, Si, maybe we can't, because we, A, I'm going to excuse all of my own behaviours and opinions. B, you know, we have to talk about everything because we do this. But you're right. Maybe generally we have to look at more than just one result and performance, look at the broader trend, particularly in 2024. And by the way, this is a guy in Eddie Howe who's been, I don't know, he's shafted, but not supported in the transfer window, not because of any desire, but in terms of a manager who needed reinforcements in a key part of the pitch in midfield, hasn't had them for reasons that we all know in terms of profit and sustainability stuff. I think it's a pretty remarkable turnaround. And like you say, I don't know if I'm as confident as you are, Si, against Bournemouth, because Bournemouth are a reasonable side. They lost kind of quite comfortably at Fulham and they'll be expecting reaction from that. But I think how getting four wins in a row, one of them being a derby. I mean, if Newcastle lose that derby, or how loses that derby, God knows where we are. But they won it. They won it comfortably. They won it Fulham comfortably. They won it Villa comfortably. And yesterday, the last 15 minutes is fairly comfortable. That is just not the Newcastle United that we'd seen away from home at any point this season, apart from against a disastrous Sheffield United and a chaotic Man United who were going through one of the toughest spells. So really positive overall. And you know, they're giving themselves an opportunity. They're giving themselves a chance of still doing something spectacular this season, in my view.
I think you're right as well. And if you look at the performances away from home, I think they've been much better than the performances at St James's Park since the turn of the year. Probably with the exception of Man City, where, you know, I thought we played pretty well. But I remember even, I'll go as far as back as Fulham, I remember us stood doing the instant reaction that day, and I said, I don't think we played particularly well, but we got the result that we needed. And then Boxing Day, we don't want to talk about that too much, but, you know, nice reference for Forest, we've got them back. But it's good to see us perform better away from home, but we just need to make sure that we don't turn up, as you say, in a week's time, and go, all right, this is Bournemouth, we should roll these over, because, as you say, they're a reasonable side, and they showed that, and their upturn started against us at their place, so, you know, we owe them one, really.
We're going to leave it there for part two of the show. We're going to talk about some of the class lads after this break and how they impacted this fixture, back after these.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Let's talk about the lads who secured this victory for Newcastle United. And I think the first player to talk about is Bruno Guimarães, who scores a brilliant left-footed volley from a fantastic corner routine, similar to the Brentford game at home last season when he comes at the back post, just like this one, and he stoops to header that one. This time it's an even better finish. And then the calm, composed curler from the edge of the box, Si. I don't think this guy could have any more influence on a game than he has there, and we are totally and utterly reliant on the man, in my opinion.
for the aforementioned reasons of the midfield being what it is at the moment, we need big performances from him occasionally, probably every week, ideally. But you know, when he can just win us a game like single handedly like he did yesterday, it's massive. And we always known he's had that in his locker. And he was grilled post match by Redknapp and this guy fella, I can't remember his name, about kind of have you wanted to play a bit further up the pitch? And to be fair, he answered it very, very well. He wants to just help the team, and he's happy to play six, happy to play eight, whatever. I thought the way we lined up yesterday did unleash Bruno a little bit. So yeah, again, the Dan Byrne trade-off of leaving him a bit exposed meant that Bruno was playing in their half of the pitch and causing all sorts of problems on the ball, which we haven't seen, because when he plays much deeper, he plays a totally different role. You know, he wins us free kicks, he gets us out of situations, but he doesn't offer that much going forward because he's so far away from goal. Whereas when he's playing 30, 40 yards away from goal, we saw what happens. He scored two goals. Now, the first one from the corner, we've seen that exact scenario before. I got full on deja vu. Why the fuck's Miggy taking the corner? What's he doing here? And what is that horribly underhit pass back to Trippier? he's nearly been tackled. But then Bruno's sneaking on the back post. I can't remember the home game. I remember vividly the goal, but I can't remember. I think he heads it. But
Brentford, I just said.
Brentford, oh, sorry. Yeah.
Can't remember.
Yeah, don't remember that. But yeah, it's like, if Miggy's lined up to take a corner and you're in opposition now, you're just thinking, right, where's Bruno? Right, we've got to go and mark Bruno. But yeah, it's unbelievable finish for the ball to come down and have to make a decision to hit the outside of his right foot to well, he could have hit it anywhere in Matzels. It probably just goes through him in hindsight. But at the time, Matzels had quite a solid start and he'd made a couple of saves. I think, no, he's going to have one of those games because it's us. But yeah, Bruno put that to bed. And just generally speaking, we've mentioned already, I thought Miley and Longstaff were pretty quiet and anonymous in the game. So Bruno had so much work to do. And yes, Trippier was the fourth midfielder. And I suppose Trippier might be the answer to, if Bruno does ever get that yellow card that we don't want him to get, was that a trial run of Trippier playing in the holding midfield role? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that the second goal again, like Bruno, because he's not playing on the halfway line, because he's 10 yards further forward, when that Forest right back plays that sort of loose ball inside, Bruno can pounce on it, whereas he wouldn't be able to do that when he's been playing more recently a bit further back. So if Longstaff wins the ball there, he's not going to get it out of his feet and score. Bruno gets the ball out of his feet, one touch past another player, bottom corner, and yeah, he sells probably a good keeper saves it, but it's still great. It's still, you know, it's a shot on target in a dangerous area. We need more of that because we don't do it enough, and it's won us the game. And yeah, he just generally grabbed that game by the scruff of the neck. There was times when he's just holding onto the ball. You can't tackle him. You literally can't tackle him. And I know he can't tackle other people at the moment, but they can't tackle him. So it's kind of a nice fair trade-off for opposition teams. And yeah, I've never been more grateful to have this player in our team.
Yeah, the inevitability of him leaving feels more and more sort of devastating every time I watch him play. He's just so good. But also yesterday, in his post-match comments, he was, he's staying. Oh, they kept asking him that yesterday. It's like, okay, leave that alone. Let's just talk about the goals. Let's just talk about that performance because it was class. But he also said that he's been really ill this week and he didn't even know if he was going to play. I mean, who would play instead of him is a ridiculous question. But he was saying, you know, he's been quite sick, and I'm not necessarily going to talk about how sick, because he you can find that interview. He went into detail. But he, like 24 hours before the game, the morning of the game, he wasn't sure he was going to make the game. And to be there on the fence, like ill, and then to put in that performance, it's like, fuck me, like whenever he does leave, if it's this summer or beyond, hopefully well beyond, that's sad, because he is such a player for this team. He is a playmaker. He brings character. He's so skilled. Players stay off him. They don't know what to do with him. And he scores goals.
And we don't win without him. And I can't remember the last time we won without him. There we go. Yeah. So, he's important. I think it's funny you were talking about Brentford deja vu. I think the second goal is also Brentford deja vu as well. The way that he just it's almost like, we need a goal. I'm just going to get the ball and I'm just going to do what I need to do. And only real world-class players can do that. And I really hope that this summer isn't the PSR cash-in summer for Bruno. I'd like to see us get another season out of him, but who knows where we are with that.
I'm just impressed by his ability to cover the ground he does the discipline not to pick up this yellow is remarkable, considering he's so ill-disciplined to an extent to pick up 9 yellow cards as quickly as it did. I mean, it's game 32 that reset, so there's still 8 games to go. And Yaz did not get another yellow card in the game. I mean, Arsenal away probably is the one that jumps out of me. That'll be tough. But I remember when he first started, and he wasn't starting games, and then when he was starting games, he was constantly being pulled off because he couldn't last the 90. And then that's just such a transformation to the physical specimen that he is now. He is Newcastle United at the minute, and we're very lucky that he plays for us. And I love those goals, because the corner goal at the start, because we've outsmarted the opposition. It's not just like a natural ability or the flow of the game or a refereeing decision. It's like, we got you. And that's why I imagine the fact that he shouts out Tindall in the post-match, I imagine that's incredibly satisfying for them all to kind of think, right, how are we going to burgle a goal out of these lads? And they did it. Let's talk about Fabian Schär, though. Charlotte, you were very impressed by the man.
Yeah, I'm just impressed by him week on week. There's not tons I can say that we haven't said already. He's just, it feels like the whole package, and I can't believe that he costs so little. It's 4 goals for him now across all competitions from our centre-back. Like, well, I don't think Botman's had a goal yet, has he?
No, he scored again.
Oh, yes, one, yeah.
He also assisted this one.
Oh, okay. So, sorry, Botman. I apologise. But it's just not where you expect your goals to be coming from. And to have, you know, put 2 in against Aston Villa and then that one yesterday, where he just manages to get into the right position. And when the ball's at his feet and he's in that box, I have no doubt he's going to score. And he's a centre-back. Like, that's not his primary, it's not his primary function on the pitch. And he's just so, so good. I love watching him. I loved watching him yesterday. He was our player of the month for January, Sellers player of the month for January. And he's consistently the player of the month for me. He's undroppable. I don't know who you would bring in for him anyway, but just to be getting goals out of him, like I said in part 2, he's part of that creativity. He's part of that solution finding. And he just does it sort of so coolly as well.
He massively stepped up as well when Botman was injured.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we missed him so much less than we could have done. But, I mean, Botman's a Rolls Royce of a player and just consistently churns out consistent performances. And the fact that Schär's able just to step up in that moment and just, like, it was as if it did feel like we didn't have that missing piece. And the finish yesterday, I think any striker would have been pleased with. And, you know, it was superb, absolutely superb.
I think that step up as well Fabian Schär made Lascelles look pretty good, I think. Lascelles, I don't want to dig him out. I think he came in and he did an excellent job for us. Obviously, Botman, when he got back to fitness, comes back in. That's a no-brainer. I'm sure Lascelles probably wasn't arguing with that. But Lascelles doing so well was because of his partnership with Schär. And how much Schär has progressed and elevated his game since Eddie Howe came in. And that can't be understated either.
Yeah, I want to talk up Fabian. Sorry, Charlotte.
I don't know. That's just what I got told.
Off air, Charlotte corrects me relentlessly. But on air, it's open season. I don't know how you pronounce the name.
It's Schär as well. Yeah.
I want to talk up these lads. I want to revel in their glory.
Yes.
But Jesus fucking Christ, that's a soft goal from Forest's point of view. Long ball from the halfway line, bounces in the penalty area, one header, and Fabian is unmarked. I mean, you don't save those, Matt Sells. You don't save many, but you definitely don't save you don't save those. But God, it's a poor goal from a Forest perspective. What the defenders being able to contribute in attacking sense does, though, it should at long term free up the attacking players more in the box, because now opposition teams have to worry about the centre-backs and them contributing to goals. So it's really positive. We are going to leave it there, though, for this week. Thank you very much for listening and watching. We appreciate your support massively. It's always nice to do these when Newcastle win away from home in particular, and win they did. Couple of notices from me to play us out. We have a live show coming up the night before Bournemouth next week. It's the Gosforth Civic Theatre in Gosforth. It is lots of your True Faith favourites, if you have any, but it's definitely me, Charlotte, Si, and a few others on stage, and would love for you to come along and see us. There are still tickets left, well over 130 sold, so we can't wait to see everybody there on the night as we talk about this mental football club in this crazy season we're on Patreon. If you like this podcast and you think, oh, I never wanted to stop, come and join on Patreon because it keeps this thing going. You get daily podcasts like this about Newcastle United. And when you've beaten Forest and you have Bournemouth at home next, it's the perfect time to come and make your week a little bit better by listening to us, I hope. Thanks for listening. Speak to you all soon. Bye-bye. This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the £4 pint on match day. That's all Newcastle home games and any televised Newcastle fixture. The offer applies from midday until midnight on all draft beers. Be gamble aware, over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org. Be drink aware, and for details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.